Days are flying by. Days are flying by. We're here on a Wednesday, getting ready to start the NCAA tournament in full throttle, like we kind of got it started last night. Welcome to the Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio. I got a treat for you today. I will say I was up late last night, and as an aside, if you stayed up to watch the end of the Virginia-Colorado State game last night, you most definitely are a degenerate gambler. Like, get help. I did stay up till the very end so that I could report on this to you, and because I enjoy torture sometimes. Virginia, just an absolutely embarrassing effort by the ACC, a borderline team that we now know should definitely not have made the tournament. Not just my opinion, the opinion of MBD, my brother Dave, who's in studio today, live and direct to your radio station and or computer. Dave, welcome.
Good morning, Slim. Yeah, Virginia did not deserve to be there, and they played like it.
Yes, played like a terrible team, and we're going to discuss why and how terrible they are, and maybe discuss how terrible their coach is, a real underrated take that I have that we're going to bring forward, or actually maybe Dave had it, but I have it too. And we have another guest in studio, Baker, who's here to enthrall and encapture your imaginations with his knowledge of college basketball. We wanted to bring in an expert. Eric, you are the college basketball expert of the Sports Machine with Slim.
I like it. I like being called an expert, and I don't know if I am, but I'll try to pretend to be one. We had a bunch of NIT action last night, so I think there's some stuff that we can pull out of some of those games, pulling forward to the tournament, and then obviously that Colorado State-Virginia game was atrocious. So,
on the professional side of things, we got the Bruins victory, an awesome game to discuss. So ecstatic and excited about this team. I'm going to talk about my man Brazzers in the locker room and the stuff he's doing there. Absolutely great. I love this guy. And the Boston Celtics take on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. The first, hopefully, competitive game that the Celtics will have had in a while. Let's just start with the basketball action. It's first and foremost on everybody's mind. Dave, what were your thoughts on Virginia heading into the game last night and how the team played?
So Virginia lost in the ACC tournament on Friday night, and they did so in a disgusting coach-laden mistake way. Their coach lost that team the game with 5 seconds left in the game. They're shooting a free throw up by three. I mean, this team is up by three with 5 seconds left. They have an 87% free throw shooter on the line. And while when he shoots, you expect him to make it, they didn't put anybody in the paint, and NC State was out of timeouts. So if you just have two rebounders in the game, you're going to make NC State take 2 or 3 seconds to find their first pass. What happens? Guy misses the shot, ball hits the floor. NC State is able to pick up that rebound, toss it to half court. Guy gets off a 30-foot shot, ties the game. The players on Virginia, they knew that they had screwed up. They knew that that was a win that never should have been taken away from them, whether it was the coach's fault or not.
It was the coach's fault.
Well, of course, fast forward 4 days, you're playing in the first four of the NCAA tournament, a place you probably shouldn't have been, especially if you finish off that game against NC State. So the effort that you got last night, it's not surprising to me that they lose by 20, because I think the players on that team were thinking about the game that they lost and not Colorado State.
People that listen to this radio station that have been listening to it over the last few months know that occasionally I put on an angry Slim hat, and I will tell you, I was yelling at somebody this morning when I really thought through the events that took place at the end of that Virginia-North Carolina State game. Dave just talked about this scenario, and I mean, if you have any coaching ability, Tony Bennett, people give this guy a free ride because he's won a title. He also lost to a number 16 seed the year before in the first round as a 1 seed. So you get zero credit, dude. You didn't stop a championship from happening. Your roster was incredible. But the fact that you're up by three, your team is shooting a free throw, and you put nobody in the lane to be there to potentially contest a rebound, or more importantly, most importantly, contest the outlet pass. If the shot is missed, anybody who coaches basketball knows it's harder to throw a pass if there's a defender right in front of you. How can you not put two people in the lane and at least be prepared to contest that outlet pass? Baker, am I overly excited right now?
You're definitely excited. I mean, The Virginia game, I didn't see it firsthand, so I can't like totally comment on that. But Dave kind of caught me up to speed on exactly what happened. I've seen Virginia play a bunch this year, and you know, for the amount of offense that they produce is just ridiculous. I mean, they're painful to watch, and that's got to go back to the coach. I mean, he's been playing that same system, slow it down, real methodical, and it's not working anymore. And I can't see why kids want to go play for him, you know.
So, 10 minutes Virginia went last night without scoring a point, which amazingly coincided with a point in the game earlier. There was roughly 7-8 minutes left in the first half, and I texted my brother, looking how horrible Virginia was. I put three words: put me in. And I knew when he saw that text, he'd be like, well, dude, you know, you probably wouldn't do too good out there. And so I sent a follow-up text a minute or two saying, you know, I'm kind of kidding. And he's like, well, I was 50-50 on whether he was serious or not. I was like, well, no, you know, I'm not going to be able to do well out there. But the team proceeded to score 0 points in the next 10 minutes after my text. Dave, I would not have scored less than zero is all I'm going
to
tell you.
Impossible to score less than zero. What I will say is Tony Bennett, you know, he bought some goodwill with the championship that he won in 2019, but he had legit NBA prospects on his team to do it. He also had some in 2018, Malcolm Brogdon, when they lost to a 16 seed to UMBC. Right, so that goodwill is now used up. If I was Tony Bennett, I would give my notice today, because you will be fired. If it's not this year, it's going to be after next season. Mark this down. If Tony Bennett is still employed there for next year, he will not be at the end of the year.
We're not here trying to call for people's jobs. Like, I'm not out to hurt other people, but dude, your team is down 27-14 at halftime last night. You lost in an NCAA tournament game 67-42 on the heels of single-handedly destroying your team's chances to win the ACC Conference Tournament by these horrible coaching decisions at the end. How do you not foul when you're down by three or up by three with less than 5 seconds in a game, less than 10 seconds in a game? You foul. You do not allow the other team to get a three-point shot off. Why? Because three counts for more than two. And if you're up by three, the only way the other team can possibly beat you is if they hit a three to tie. And that's what happened, and it's totally Tony Bennett's fault. So in this one case, I'm kind of calling for his job. I'm sorry, dude. Your system don't work. On the other hand, I will say, Baker, did you watch this other game last night, this play-in in the battle of the 16 seeds, Howard and Wagner? Because I will say, Wagner was up the whole second half. Howard storms back. They're down by three with like 10 to 15 seconds left in the game. They proceed to get off like four different three-pointers that all missed, so Wagner escapes.
Yeah, I'm the wrong guy to ask on that, because I did not watch that game. I watched about 10 minutes of that game in the beginning, and I thought it was terrible, and I just stopped watching it.
I feel like that's a backhanded insult.
Saving up my viewing viewing minutes for like the tournament, the real games. That game was just like, who cares who wins that game? I see no value in either of those teams.
Wagner's team.
Looking at it from a betting perspective, and like, I just don't see who either of those teams winning doing anything in the tournament, so I just wrote them off. I did watch the Colorado State Virginia game, and again, same thing, betting perspective, like, take the under if Virginia's playing usually.
you sound like a man who has an allowance on his basketball time from his wife.
No, I'll tell you what, Debs, she'll let me watch whatever I want when it comes to hoops. We're actually going to the Celtics game tonight, the two of us.
There you go.
She's actually a huge Michigan State fan, so I was kind of hoping they wouldn't make the tournament so I could rub it in her face, and I don't think they should have made the tournament, but she got him in. She's happy, so she'll have Michigan State winning the whole thing. So,
this is a bracket
that you won't have to worry about.
I wasn't expecting to go here this early in the show, but you're talking about you're going to the game tonight. It's a big game against the Milwaukee Bucks. What do you think of the Boston Celtics fan base inside of the TD Garden? I don't know how many other games you've gone to. What do you think about like their ability to impact the players on the floor through an intensity level of cheering?
I mean, I think it's a great crowd. Almost every game. I mean, they've had some games this year where the scores have been so lopsided that it, you know, sometimes it probably seems a little quiet in there. But I mean, for the most part, great crowd. And I think they do pump up the guys. I mean, Jaylen Brown last year calling them out for I think that was in the playoffs.
It was in the playoffs.
Right?
He did.
And I mean, I thought that was kind of crap because I think the fans at TD are great.
I take Jaylen Brown's side. I think the fans at TD Garden stink. They're a bunch of softies that get free tickets and go to the games. Are you getting free tickets? Are the tickets you're getting to go to the game tonight free?
They will not be free, no.
Okay, so you are what I would call a real fan, and I imagine you're going to be cheering. You said you'll be there with your
wife. Oh, I'm loud, yeah.
You're going to be loud. Do other people that are near you give you snide looks like, oh, you need to quiet down here. These are, you know, we don't need your loud noises around this place.
No, I don't think so.
Do you slap high fives with neighboring fans?
I do. The last game I went to was the Lakers game where the Celtics just totally, like, it was the game that LeBron and Anthony Davis didn't play. Had pretty good seats, and
we got smashed.
It was a terrible game.
And you were cheering? What happened?
No,
what happened?
A lot of, like, angry yelling at, stop playing. And,
who were you yelling at, Joe Mazzulla or the players?
Everyone, pretty much.
The people around you in the stands, were you yelling?
I was surrounded by Lakers fans. There was a ton of Lakers fans.
You were. See, this is what I'm talking about. How did the Lakers fans get the tickets? The Celtics fans sold it because they're not real fans that are going to the games. They're the rich people who have gotten the free tickets from their buddies, and okay, I'll go. And then they look at the real fans like you who are cheering, and why is this guy so loud and out of control? And that's why we're losing games in the playoffs. Not this year, though. Baker.
Not this year.
So there we go.
Championship or bust.
When we come back, we might talk some college basketball. More likely, we're going to talk about the Bruins and their awesome win last night. WKXL Radio. This is The Sports Machine with Slim on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You got it. You're in the right place. NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Yeah, word on the street is the Boston Celtics have a pretty big game this evening. Why? Because we just keep destroying teams and every game is boring. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. So I, as much as I love to get on the Celtics fans, and Bruins fans too, actually, for not cheering vigorously enough, I mean, it's kind of tough if you're just slamming every team. The Celtics are 11-2 since the All-Star break. Just so you know, the average margin of victory in those 11 wins, 22 points a game. And that does not include the game we won by 50. The last game before the All-Star break against Brooklyn. The Celtics, like I said, two losses since the All-Star break. One of them, we're up by 18 points in the fourth. So I wouldn't blame you if you're like going to sleep or turning off the TV. We win that game. Tonight, we get a game that should be exciting. And right now, we get a caller on the phone lines who should be exciting. Welcome to the show out there. I think I know exactly who this is.
Slim, sorry to say, but I'm not so excited. The pistol is unloaded today as I call for a moment of silence for the Utah Jazz's John Collins. On Monday, March 18th, Anthony Edwards brutally posterized John Collins in what may be the dunk of 2024. Collins will be immortalized as the poster child in basketball's greatest dunk, with the likes of Vince Carter's Olympic dunk over 7-foot Frenchman or Scottie Pippen walking over Patrick Ewing. What did you think of that?
Of your take or of the dunk itself? I haven't seen the dunk, but I really liked your take right there.
The dunk is amazing, Slim. You've got to get that. You've got to get that. It's amazing.
I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Every waking moment, I'm using my notebook to write down things, whether it's college basketball, it's the Bruins, it's the Celtics, and now I'm missing out on the world's best dunk. I feel like I should just stop everything and just get back to watching the highlights on ESPN. In studio here today, Pistol, we have MBD, my brother Dave. We have Baker, who are two college basketball experts, as I've coined them. And I know you have an affinity for college basketball and all things basketball. I know you have a real talent for giving terrible picks when it comes to the outcome of basketball games. So would you like to enlighten the world or the listening audience with your college takes or your NBA takes this morning?
Yeah, I'd love to hear what these guys, I can't wait to hear what these guys have to say about the college takes. I do wonder, like, Baker, did you ever treat brother Dave to a nice dunk?
I can't dunk. Nope. Never been able to dunk. As they say, I can dunk a tennis ball or a volleyball back in the day, but never a real basketball. Not once ever in a game. So, nope, no dunking on Dave.
Did you ever dunk, Pistol?
A volleyball. That's as high as I ever got.
See?
I would like it to be known that no man has ever dunked on me in my basketball career. Now, that's also because I didn't play college ball. But that said, even in all the leagues that I've ever played in, I've played in plenty of leagues where guys could dunk, and nobody has ever dunked on me in any game.
Hampstead Masters Basketball League. Nobody has gone over to Big Man to throw one down in his grill. What do you think about this Celtics-Bucks game tonight, Pistol? I know you, like, it seems like you hate the Celtics sometimes, but now it seems like you kind of like them. I'm questioning your fandom here.
Well, I've never been a huge Celtics fan, and you know I don't like the threes, and they're firing up 50 threes per game, but damn, they're starting to make them all, right? So they're way up there in three-pointers lately. And I like what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball, finally. Like, they're not switching everything, which used to be, I thought, terrible defensive plan, especially when the playoffs roll around. So Celtics looking good, but Milwaukee's 9-3 in their last 12 games. They're second in the East, even though they're 10 games back. I just hope we get the players playing in this game. I want to make sure Jaylen Brown and Tatum are on the court. I want Giannis to be on the court. Right now we got a few questionables for the game, which would suck. So I hope we get the guys out there, and I just want to see good basketball play.
For sure, Pistol. I'll tell you, the Celtics in their last two games, I think, actually sat their top six players between the two games. Tatum, Brown, Derek White, Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, they all got rest over those last two games. So you'd like to think that they're aiming for tonight.
Yeah, Brother Dave, I think, like, I hope that means that everybody's gaming for tonight.
Exactly.
Right? Like, that would be the way that that's what every NBA fan is hoping for. Is, like, it's not that they're, you know, they're just resting the guys, right? They're not hurt or injured or anything. And so if we get Giannis going full throttle and we have Tatum and Brown going full throttle, like, that means, like, these teams are ready to go at it in the playoffs, and they know they're going to be heading for each other. It's going to make for a great game tonight.
Do you think that Milwaukee is coming here to win this game? Like, do you think Milwaukee's super motivated to come in and show the Celtics that they're going to have some competition in the playoffs? Or do you think Milwaukee's treating this as any other game?
I mean, it'd be disappointing if they were treating it as any other game, right? And I think if Giannis sits, that's how they're treating it. If Giannis goes out there and plays, like, we should be able to tell pretty quickly if Milwaukee's taking him seriously. But I think at this point, it's time to make a statement, right? Like, we're like 10, 12 games away from the playoffs. Like, you want to show that you can match up with them. Now, these teams play again, like, I think the second to last game of the season. I think at that point, you're probably resting guys for the playoffs. You might not be taking it seriously because everybody's, you know, probably seated at that point. So I think Milwaukee's got to try and make a statement tonight.
Yeah, this is interesting because I remember that same thing, the scenario last year that the Celtics played the Bucks towards the end of the regular season. The Celtics sat a couple of their guys, and I was mad. Like, dude, you need to go and play and beat this team. And lo and behold, guess what? I was right. Because the Celtics, when it comes money time in the playoffs, they've done nothing but choke. So you need to encounter and just be in these situations as many times as possible so the whole team understands what your options are at the end of a game. It's not a coincidence here that at the end of the Denver game, the Celtics players were all looking around at each other and kind of like, and they're all missing. Why? Because it's no longer, hey, let's just play, let's share, let's go ahead, kick it to who's ever open, fire up the threes because we're up by 20, all's fine and good. Now it's, oh no, am I supposed to shoot the three or do I have to pass it to Tatum because he's kind of open too? That matters when you're playing basketball, right, Baker? So what do you expect? Like, what can the Celtics learn? Am I putting too much on a regular season game tonight to be like, hey, if we're in a close game, it's going to dictate what's going to happen in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I could see – I honestly think the Celtics will probably roll them tonight. I think Milwaukee will come in kind of treating it like, all right, yeah, if we hang around, like, maybe this will be a close game and we'll hang around towards the end. I think they come in and they'll give up quick. I really do.
Because the Celtics are just dogs.
I think the Celtics are just playing at a different level right now offensively. Like, if you watch them play right now, like, they're having fun playing. Like, everyone's sharing the ball. It's just moving around very well.
There's no drop-off when the subs come in the game either.
No. I think you have to be careful how you play the subs, but, you know, individually when, you know, you have stretches with Pritchard in there, stretches with Hauser in there. I just don't like when they put them all in together. But, you know, as long as they have Brown, Tatum on the floor with them, they usually do well. But, I mean, they're playing great ball right now, and if I was them, I would try to come out and really smash them.
So a couple of things. So Pistol, you know, we've talked a few different points about the Celtics, but their late game play calling, they seem to slow it down a lot, right? Like, that's one of the concerns I have for this team in a game. If they play a close game, don't slow the ball down. Like, don't slow the pace of the game down. Yeah. Don't start hunting shots. Play your offensive game. Like, that's my biggest concern as I watch the Celtics, is they slow the tempo in these games, thinking that they're just trying to run out the clock because it's an 8 or 10. Like, just play the game. If they just play their game and they continue to get open looks, there's no team in the NBA that can beat them 4 out of 7 games. The only team that can beat them is themselves. That's my opinion, Pistol. Like, who do you like? Who do you think is their biggest competitor in the NBA playoffs?
Well, NBA playoffs is no question Denver's the favorite, right? You'd be crazy not to pick them because Jokic is an absolute beast and completely unstoppable. Last night they went against Minnesota, and Minnesota had no answer for Jokic, right? I mean, their bigs were both out, so they really struggled in that game. But Jokic is the man in the NBA, right? There's just no stopping him.
He nailed a three with a minute or two left last night, Pistol. We got to transition to commercial. Great job by you. If you want to stay on the line, you probably can. I don't think these guys will feel intimidated by your presence. This is the Sports Machine with Slim, heading towards segment 3. Bruins, college basketball, NBA. You're going to get it all. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. So we have had our disagreement, in studio. Disagreement, I just said something positive about the Bruins. And one of the guests in studio said they're not going to do it this year. And I was stopped in my tracks. What are you talking about, Baker? You do not like what you're seeing from the Boston Bruins this
year?
I love
what I'm seeing right now, but they don't have the talent to go the distance. Nope.
Charlie McAvoy and Lindholm are legit two of the best defensive players in all of hockey. Charlie McAvoy may be the best offensive D-man in the league. And you have Pasternak, who every single night is a magician. Marchand's a wizard. You got Charlie Coyle playing incredible hockey. What makes you think we don't have the top-end talent? We have the goalies.
They're terrible on face-offs, which they've gotten better lately, but that's going to kill them in the playoffs. Face-offs are huge. They just don't kill penalties like they used to. And then you got Pasternak in the playoffs. Like, he tend to have some disappearing acts. Like,
yes.
And now it's one guy, so the other team's going to put their checking line, and they're just going to try to grind him down, you know? And Charlie Coyle's been playing great, but now he's going to be facing same thing, like top line defensive teams that want to shut him down, or Pasternak's line. I don't see it this year because I don't think they're as good. They're better offensively lately, but to be good in the playoffs, I think they need to be better defensively, and they're trending the other way, I feel like, defensively.
What I will tell you is, and I think you're basing some of this off of the performance last year, because everybody last year going into the playoffs thought the Bruins were going to win the Stanley Cup. Like, we had the best regular season record in history for the NHL. Everybody was expecting good things. Well, we go down. Well, what I look at is you subtract Krejci and Bergeron from the team, and I would tell you, they didn't do anything in the playoffs last year. And not for nothing, they haven't done anything in the playoffs for years because they've grinded through a whole regular season and then they're injured. Last year, Lindholm was one of the best defensive players in hockey almost all year long. In the playoffs, he was injured. So I hear where you're coming from. My counter take would be the Bruins' defense. Yes, I feel that we haven't played great hockey this season, but I think the pieces are there to really tighten that ship up as Lindholm is back and healthy heading into the playoffs. Dave, what do you think about the Bruins? How many games do you watch for the Bruins a year?
Oh, I watch more than half of them. I mean, at least if you were talking about just, you know, 10, 20-minute sections, I'd probably watch 95% of them.
All right, so you're watching the games here. What do you think about the Bruins?
Yeah, I like their team. I mean, I think they have some chemistry. Listen, they've made 3 Stanley Cup finals in the last, whatever it is, 11, 12, 13 years. I mean, this team has proven in the playoffs. They usually just don't, you know, they just quite don't get it done. And in the same habits that they've had in previous years, I mean, blown leads, right? Like, right now, that's the problem I think that they're trying to move on from. They had it earlier this year, especially after the Florida series last year, being up 3-1, blowing leads in the last three games. They did it a bunch early on in the season where they had third period leads. They lost those games. But I think right now is the time to tighten that up, and that's what they're doing, right? I just don't lose third period leads. I think that's the thing from a mental standpoint that this team needs so that they have success in the postseason, right? Like, you just do not want to blow any more third period leads. I don't really care if you lose to some bad teams. I don't care if you beat some good teams. Right now, what I want is some consistency. Hey, if you're up a goal in the third period, I don't want to see that tying score with 5 seconds like they left in the game like they have multiple times this year.
It almost happened last night. The Bruins were up 2-0 to start the game. They're up 3-1 towards the end of the second period, and they let in like a last-second goal to Ottawa. So they go into the third period. It's only 3-2. And everybody's like, oh man, is this team gonna like give it up again? And this is on the heels of, remember, they were up 5-2 against Philadelphia within the third period, and then they give up two quick goals, so it's 5-4. Like, the Bruins team always keeps you on the edge of your seat. This is what I love. But they're 5-6 in their last six games, just so everybody knows. And last night, when it got like, gut check, tight time, 3-2, they came out in the third period and just absolutely blew the doors off of this Ottawa team. Like, no, not tonight, baby. You're all done. Pasternak has a hat trick. And this guy, Brazzers, who I absolutely love. I love to watch Brazzers. This guy is just hammering things out there as a 26-year-old for the first time getting his chance to play in the NHL. And he scored two goals last night. And I'm just telling the both of you guys, inside of that locker room, when you have a dude coming up from the minor leagues, 26 years old, who's big, imposing, plays a physical style of hockey, and now he's scoring and contributing on a regular basis, you feel good in that locker room. And it's something different, and it's something special. I'm telling you, Baker, get on board this Bruins freight train.
Listen, I love the Bruins. I want to see nothing but good things happen to them, but I don't see it. I see Rangers coming out of the East, and I don't think they can match up with.
We're playing the Rangers tomorrow night, baby, so let's look forward to that. And it was interesting, as I went silent for like 2 seconds before I jumped back in. At the beginning of this show, didn't you say you try not to watch a lot of stuff because you don't want to be impacted by other people's opinions, and then I'm here slamming you as to why you need to be rooting and thinking the Bruins are going to win?
Yeah, no, that is kind of funny. That was more in the last segment, but I'm a big Bruins fan. Believe me, last year I was devastated. I actually went to a couple of the games in Florida, and they won, and I was, you know, with all the other Bruins fans that were down there. It's probably half Bruins fans, half
Bruins fans. We travel, huh? It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, it was
we
awesome.
Travel.
Walking down the hall, saying, you know, we want the cup, we want the cup, like causing crap with the Florida fans, telling them that their season's over, and then to lose the way they did, it was terrible.
Shell shock. It's a year later, you haven't recovered.
No, it was awful.
Good news, you didn't have to run into those fans again.
Yeah, no. So, hey, if they get, I mean, that's another team. Again, Florida improved at the deadline. I mean, they just look, Florida and Rangers, to me, just look head and shoulders above the Bruins, but the Bruins are playing great. But like, I don't care about wins over Philadelphia and Ottawa. I want to see. Show me something tomorrow, and we'll change our tune. Maybe
I've been tracking it all along. We play our best hockey against the best teams in the league, like the top other 11 teams besides us. The last 10 games we played against those teams, we're like 8-2. The Bruins smashed the best teams in the league. But I'm with you. Let's throw down tomorrow night, baby. Let's see the Bruins and the Rangers.
Let's go. Dave, is that home? Is that home game?
I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's in the streets of Brooklyn. I don't care if it's Rocky Balboa 5 style Tommy gun fights only in the ring. It's outside in the hallway or the alleyway. The Bruins, let's get it on with the New York Rangers tomorrow night.
Your guy Brazzers there. Is he a fighter?
Brazo, nobody wants to fight him. He is a big dude.
Has he fought? Because
no,
I
haven't seen him fight.
A great matchup with him and Remke for. Have you seen this guy Remke for the Rangers?
No, I wonder if Thomas Poke has. Thomas, help me.
6'7", 242.
Well, all right, get in there, Brazos. Go
fights,
get him.
He fights everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He before he even took his first shift, he got in a fight. Like,
so what? Just, is he new
he
to
came
hockey?
Came off from minors, similar to that, and in his first shift. Came out for the face-off and dropped gloves and got in a fight. But you got to check this guy out.
Oh, it sounds like
he
this,
he skates
yeah.
around. He looks like a raccoon. He's got black eyes from just – he fights every night.
Okay, see, yeah, this is where I'm not a true hockey fan, apparently. I'm just a blinded Boston Bruins fan. But tomorrow night, I'm looking for some fight against some 6'7 giant.
I hope so.
Let's go. We're at home. We're at home tomorrow night. You better bring the energy, Boston Bruins fans. If I was there and cheering and people are like, sit down, don't cheer so much.
I might go just to see if they'll fight.
Yeah. Well, to help make it happen, the fans
try to instigate
fight,
it somehow.
Fight, yeah. Fight, fight. That would be awesome. A cheer,
possibly start a chant.
That would
sure.
be great, right? But that's yeah. an easy one to remember. The beat is simple. Dave, what do you think? Are we, we misguided in what we're looking for tomorrow night.
No, well, that's old school hockey. You know, that's kind of disappeared a little bit from the sport. I miss it, right? Because I do think that there was something that was to be taken from that. You know, the more physical teams that you know, in the NHL, I felt like they were more successful. And in even Las Vegas last year, I thought was a much more, you know, I mean, they were physical. And I thought the Blues, the year that they beat the Bruins up
totally.
In the Stanley Cup Finals, they were the more physical team. So, you know, I mean, Remke, is that this dude's name
yeah.
that you're talking about? Like, I'd be up in the stands being like, yeah, Remke, I heard that Brazo says he's going to kick your
ass. Yeah, you know, sure.
Last night, I watched the end of the Bruins game, I will say, and this guy Lauko for the Bruins put a nice check. He put a nice check in on the Ottawa guy. It was clear, it was after a clean. It was after the guy had let go of the puck. He finished his check, and the Bruins were up 6-2 at that time. So the dude takes offense. I think it was Tkachuk from Ottawa. Well, they were looking to fight. After the play stopped, because Lauko had gone back to the bench, and Tkachuk is coming over, like talking, and Lauko got right up and was like, "Dude, I'll fight you." And I just was like, "Dude, that's the type of team I'm telling you, the Bruins locker room right now. That's what you need." And we're gonna see tomorrow night against
yeah.
the 6'7" giant. You need to put a beat down on that guy.
They should have fought his brother last year in the Florida series and maybe turned it around.
There you are, reliving last year. You still shell shocked. Do you think you're walking
beat
down
up
the
his little brother
hallway?
And for a terrible Ottawa team?
Yeah, you're in the Florida Penguins, Florida fans hallway there, you're talking trash to them, and you know, now you just can't recover. You're going to have to at some point this year. We're going to have to get over that.
Let it go. Yep,
just let it go. Let it go. Dave, what do we want to talk about now? Probably not listen to me singing, what is that, Tangled, or what was that song from? The Ice song.
Yeah, I don't know too many Disney movies. My kids are all grown up at this point. But I think it's logical to jump into the NCAA tournament. You know, I mean, as we progress throughout the day today, everyone's going to be filling out their brackets, looking to make their picks, looking for sleepers. You know, this is probably the last time they're going to get a chance to listen to the experts on the radio, make some picks, give them some upset specials, you know, before they turn in their brackets.
You want to both give one team, just one word from both of you before we head to commercial, just to plant the seed in people's minds. What's one team, a long seed to look out for, Baker?
A long seed?
Yeah, long shot.
Here we go. On the,
Dave, what's one team to look out for?
Samford.
Baker?
I'm going to go Drake.
Samford and Drake. We're going to hear more about those two teams when we come back from this commercial break. The Sports Machine with Slim about to help you fill out your brackets on WKXL Radio. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. You can always listen to us live, nhtalkradio.com. Right to it. We've been talking all commercial break because we want to make sure we give you the best information possible. That means you're probably not going to hear that much from me. this segment, we're going to let Dave and Baker, my brother Dave and Baker, tell you about what they've seen this year in college basketball and put that knowledge to use for their picks. Dave, why don't you take the show over and go ahead.
Well, I think we'll go bracket by bracket. I know we got to be pretty quick here, but I think it's probably best to say, hey, who do we like coming out of this bracket, and which team do we think can make the most noise for a long shot? Well, and long shot can be a four or five seed that you think is going to make it to the Final Four or Elite Eight, or it can be a 12 seed that you think is going to win two rounds, right? Like, I think that's how you define a bracket buster. So, Baker, you know, we'll start off in the East in that UConn bracket. I know a lot of people like UConn going to the Final Four, myself included, probably you.
Yep.
Or Auburn, but who, like in that section, which team do you think has the opportunity? I know you just said Drake. You think Drake is the one team in that, like you think they can beat Iowa State in that second round?
I do see the potential for that. I like Drake. Drake's nice because I think they beat Washington State easy in that first round game. And then, you know, Iowa State, somewhat vulnerable team to me, I think. So that's one that I like.
Why are they vulnerable? Just a tough time scoring?
Yeah, they play. I mean, they're a great home team, but they're not going to be at home. So it'll be the second game. So it'll be, you know, after they already played. So there's not a ton of time to prep. And I think Drake gives them a little different look than they might be used to seeing. And, I mean, Drake's going to shoot the ball better than Iowa State.
A lot of people probably don't know Iowa State won that Big 12 tournament, but that was basically played at home for them. All their games were huge home court biases because of where it took place.
Yep.
Those seven losses, those all came on the road. Iowa State does not lose at home. They have a huge advantage at home. So I'm with you that Iowa State away from home, like, they're vulnerable, but check the locations and see how they travel, right? Like,
yep.
I don't know how much Drake is going to travel in that, but I'll tell you.
Omaha, Nebraska is where that game will be played.
There you go. So you have UConn coming out of that bracket in the Final Four?
Yeah, I got UConn in there. I mean, that's a chalky bracket to me with, you know, I mean, I guess Auburn is a four seed. I think Auburn's probably the second best team in that bracket, and they're the four seed. I like Illinois over Iowa State as well.
I'm with you on that. I think that's the one bracket. The 1-2-3-4 is advanced to the Sweet 16. I actually think Auburn, from a matchup standpoint, I think they're the one team that can give UConn trouble. I'm going to take them in my pools. I don't doubt that UConn's the better team, but I'm going to take Auburn in my pools because I think Auburn plays a different style. They press full court. They do something that maybe UConn hasn't seen. And I think if you're going to get UConn, you better get them early. So that, you know, from there, we'll go down to the West. West is a wide open bracket. A lot of people, like, different teams in this bracket, people betting. Alabama, I saw, has taken the most percentage of bets to win this conference as a four seed out of any team in the bracket. Who do you like coming out of the West?
I mean, out of the West, I like North Carolina. I know you love North Carolina. I was looking to pick against North Carolina, kind of, and I don't see any of those teams. I mean, my second favorite in that whole region is probably Baylor. I'm off on Arizona. I'm off of Alabama. You know, Mississippi State, Michigan State, St. Mary. I don't like any of those teams.
So in that bracket, the one thing I've been saying for a month, I think Alabama is the most overrated team in all of college basketball. Charleston last year took San Diego State down to the buzzer in the first round. They almost beat them. San Diego State ended up going to the finals. So that loss doesn't look so bad, losing as a 12 in that bracket. Now all of a sudden they come back. They're a 13. They're playing Alabama. They got some players returning to that team. Charleston, I think, is going to win that game outright. They're getting 10 points. If there's one team that I think is extremely, extremely vulnerable, I think it's Alabama. They play no defense, and Charleston averages 81 points a game. They want to get up and down the floor. If they score 81 against everybody else, they should score 95 against Alabama.
Dave, didn't you say Alabama scored gave up over 100 in three of their last four games? I thought you said this stat. And I will say, for people listening, last week Dave called the show the day that Alabama was playing in the SEC tournament and said they're going to lose their first game. Yep. So he called that way in advance.
Florida. They gave up over 100 points to Florida twice in the last 2 weeks. And Florida did not score 100 points all year. Alabama just has decided they do not want to play defense. And somehow, some way, John Oates, I think John is his first name, Oates got a contract extension last week. The head coach for Alabama. He can recruit, right? And in college, that matters. But what he can't do is coach defense.
Listen, Bama lost out of conference, lost to Creighton, lost to Clemson, lost to Purdue, lost to Ohio State, lost to Arizona. Their best out of conference win is Oregon. And they gave up a ton of points to Kentucky, Florida, a ton of teams in there.
They're vulnerable. I think they go down in the first game. So that's a live long shot for you. Okay, so let's move it to the other side of the bracket. We both have North Carolina coming out of there. You got UConn. I like UConn, but I'm going to take Auburn for my brackets because I just think it's very hard for a team to repeat. So if we move to the other side, the South, Houston's bracket with Duke, Marquette, Kentucky. Who do you got coming out of that bracket?
I'm going to go off the beaten path a little bit and go with Kentucky. I mean, they are a three seed, so it's not totally out of the realm, but I'm going with Kentucky in that region.
So if you like Kentucky, that's actually kind of like a long shot play as well in there, right? Because the three seed getting to your Final Four, that's a pretty...
Yeah, I mean, I like Duke and Kentucky are the two teams in that region that I like the best.
Lots of people like Marquette.
You guys like Marquette, I don't. I'm not totally against them, but I'm not huge on them.
So listen, I do like Marquette, But I actually think this bracket is set up great for Duke. The one thing I will tell everybody, I don't know, Baker, if you'll agree or not, but I've watched the last four Vermont basketball games. I watched them play UNH twice. I watched them play UMass Lowell in Albany. This is not the same Vermont Crusaders team that have played these last 6 years that have had some really good, like, competitive league games.
Yeah, they've had some, like, close to NBA guys. Yeah.
I mean, this team is not the same. I think they are going to get destroyed by Duke in the first round.
Yeah, I agree.
I do, too. Is that a warning sign to everybody out there? Because we all seem to be in agreement that Duke is going to absolutely smash Vermont. Is it the Catamounts?
What's Catamounts. That's okay.
Nice knowledge by me right there, dropping knowledge.
The Catamounts.
What's up, everybody? But, yeah, that's interesting. We all are unified on Duke, and I don't even like Duke anymore.
All I will say is I watch the CBS sports, you know, professionals. A couple of them had Vermont winning that game. So this is not, you know, this is not, hey, a popular pick out in the sports world. I think it's just a popular pick in this room. But we have exposure to these teams. Like, we got the chance to watch Vermont in their last four games. I don't think a lot of people necessarily did. So I have no problem with that pick at all. So you got Kentucky. I like Duke coming out of that bracket. I think Duke is a great matchup for Houston. If they get to that game, I like Duke a lot in that game. And then a Duke Marquette, Duke Kentucky, you know, that's what we're looking at. And so let's move on to the last bracket, the Midwest, Purdue's bracket, a team that's lost to a 13, 15, and 16 seed. Their last 3 years is now once again a one seed. Who do you like coming out of this bracket, Baker?
Unfortunately, I don't like any of the teams in this bracket. I really don't. I don't like any of them. It stinks because I really would like to, like, pull a Duke from the South and put them down there, and then I'd roll them right to the Final Four. But I'm going to go with Tennessee. You know, I like Creighton a little bit, but I don't know. I don't.
Let me jump in on your reasoning, yeah. Baker. You don't like anybody. TCU played a very tough physical game against Houston. They had a real tough time scoring in the conference tournament. I will say TCU's physicality, for sure, and athleticism could match up well against Purdue. So if they can beat Utah State, they can beat Purdue. Why can't TCU go to the Final Four?
I've been a TCU fan. I've backed them at the window many times this year, and I've lost as much as I've won with them this year. They're just going to run out of scoring, I think. Like, they'll just to win that many games in a row, you got to score the ball a little bit. And they're a total defense first team. Jamie Dixon, the old Pitt coach, coaches TCU. So, you know, Dave and I have talked a couple times this year that the Big 12 used to be a real offensive, like, kind of seemed like it was offense. Now it's like Texas Tech, TCU, Houston, even Baylor. They play D. They actually play some D. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think this bracket is wide open. I could see Samford as the 13 seed making it to the Final Four. Kansas would have been my pick, but not having McCullers, Dickinson coming off totally of his shoulder separation, I think that makes them hugely vulnerable. I'm not a Gonzaga fan, and so I think that the winner of that Kansas-Samford game is moving on to the Sweet 16. I think that's going to be Samford now. So, again, we'll see what happens. The one thing I'm out on is Purdue. Purdue is not good. They are built on a one-man team, and trust me when I tell you, Zach Edey is going to find himself with two fouls early on in one of these first couple of games. Sure. It's going to happen. That's their weakness. You can see these guys do not want to take an offensive foul during the regular season against a guy who's 7'4", 330 pounds. But in the postseason, in a one-and-done, your bigs are going to get in his way. They're not going to let him get to the basket. You saw it last year with Farley Dickinson. You've seen it in the previous years when he's gotten into these one-game situations. There's a reason he's not successful. It's because the defenders are going to do everything that they can to stop them that they're not going to do during the regular season. So in this bracket, I actually like South Carolina. They're a six seed. I'm going to take them to reach the Final Four just because I think they're an underdog.
Who's their coach? Oregon stinks. I think I'm out on the Pac-12 all the way through. Who's South Carolina's coach? I have no idea. I'm putting you guys on the spot because if we're going to say South Carolina can maybe get there, like TCU, I like the defensive action. And the rest of these teams, the process of elimination, I hate them.
Ohio State kept Diebler, right? They signed him as their coach because they were talking about South Carolina's coach going to Ohio State. He's a LeBron guy.
Tennessee coach is horrible, Rick Barnes. You know he's going to choke. I know you kind of said Tennessee might be the team. Yeah. He always chokes.
South Carolina was picked to finish dead last in the SEC. Right, then they go ahead and they end up having a magical season. They finish within one game of winning that conference. They're a dangerous team. They play a lot of defense. And in this bracket, I love the matchup with Oregon. Creighton is a dangerous team, of course. Like, we all know the Big East top three is great. I just think South Carolina is one of those teams underrated, overlooked, and is going to get a trip.
And the female team from South Carolina gets all the attention. Wouldn't it be cool if the men's program comes out with a big run? Thank you guys for joining the show today. My brother Dave and Baker, experts on the Sports Machine with Slim. WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. We'll be back tomorrow.